For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Governor Ned Lamont let it be known that most venue capacity limits in the state were going to be a thing of the past as of March 19th. Now, many are hailing this move as a harbinger of the return of normalcy, whatever that is, after a year of dealing with the pandemic. But not everyone is so sanguine. Nathan Grubaugh is an assistant professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. He joins me now to talk about the Twitter thread he dropped last Thursday, soon after the governor's announcement. Now, in your tweet on March 4th, Nathan, you called reopening Connecticut on the 19th a, quote, terrible idea. Why do you say that?
Well, I understand a lot of us that we want to get back to normal. And we want to be able to go and have in-person dining and do all the things that we used to do before the pandemic. But what we're seeing right now is a drastic increase in this new variant called B117. It was first detected in the UK. And for a while, it was at really low frequencies throughout Connecticut. But as this has been exponentially increasing, that we found that in the New Haven County area, that it has reached about 25% of the total viruses, and we project that it'll be the dominant SARS-CoV-2 lineage within just a couple of weeks. There's additional data that shows that there's similar findings for the Hartford area. We have additional data showing that we find these trends in New York and New Jersey and Illinois and Florida and California, that B117 is increasing in frequency throughout the country. And as this virus is more transmissible, I'm quite nervous about what this is going to do to the total number of cases in the country, if it's going, or in Connecticut, if it's going to reverse these trends that we are seeing right now.
Okay, so the layperson out there hears this and says, hey, wait a minute, don't we have all these great vaccines?
Yeah, so the vaccines that we have out there, we have the two mRNA vaccines and we have the new one from Johnson & Johnson. And the data says that they work really well for B117. That's great news. Even vaccines with a 65% efficacy are great tools. And what's important about all of these, though, is they protect against death. And so that efficacy is for whether or not you're going to get, you know, mild or moderate symptoms, not whether or not you are going to be protected against the worst form of it, which is actually death. So I think if I were had to have the choice of all three of the vaccines, I would take whatever would be offered to me first. The problem is that the rollout on these vaccines has been slow. We have, you know, too few percent of the population that has been vaccinated. And, you know, eventually as our vaccinated population reaches 70%, 80% in the state, then B117 may not be as much of a concern. But we're still months away from getting to that point. And I just feel like we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Well, I understand that the B117 isn't the only variant out there. I mean, I'm seeing reports of other variants stirring up.
The two of most pressing concern are called B1351, that was first detected in South Africa, and P1, that was first detected in Brazil. Now, it's unclear if either of these are actually more transmissible, but the concern with these two variants is that they can decrease vaccine efficacy. So far, those studies show that people are still protected from death, but it could allow for people to get infected and transmit to other people if they've received the vaccine and were to be exposed to these viruses. So there, you know, there are other variants too. You might have heard of the New York variant or the California variant, and there's going to be a slew of these different things that pop up.
This morning, the CDC says fully vaccinated people can meet indoors without masks. The CDC says fully vaccinated people can visit with unvaccinated members of a single household without wearing masks or social distancing, as long as those people are at low risk for severe COVID-19. What is your reaction to the CDC's information that they released this morning?
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate response based on the data that we have right now. It does appear that people who are vaccinated are protected from transmitting to other individuals so far if they don't have maybe one of these other variants. we're not, you know, the CDC is not saying that people who have been vaccinated should go into a restaurant at full capacity without their masks on, because that's a, you know, a higher level of risk.
And yet now, refocusing the conversation back specifically to Connecticut, of course, the governor has said restaurants are going back to 100% capacity. Are you going to be eating indoors anytime soon?
No, I will not be right now. I think we still need social distancing. We still need to have lower capacity, especially indoors, until we get to the point, really, where we have a higher vaccination rate. And we really have a good idea of how B.1.1.7 is going to impact cases. You know, the cases still are decreasing, even though B.1.1.7 is increasing. And if it reverses those trends, having restaurants and bars and other indoor places at full capacity could really help to exacerbate a growing problem.
Well, given the B.1.1.7 and the other variants that are out there, what is your worst case scenario for how this plays out, and what is your most likely case scenario?
The worst case scenario is that we go back to a situation where our hospitals are overrun, and it feels like a year ago. There are a lot of similarities to what happened at the beginning of the pandemic, where we were really blind to what was going on because of testing. And that's kind of playing out now, because for the variants that we need to have sequencing capacity, we need to have some of these tests that give us clues about the presence of B.1.1.7 and other variants, but it doesn't give us the full picture. And that makes it really hard to make decisions, and it makes it and it could lull people into a false sense of security, where we get to the point where we have another wave, a third wave, if you will. The likely scenario here is that, I think B.1.1.7 is going to have some sort of a local impact on cases and transmission, that it's, we are seeing that non-B.1.1.7 cases continue to go down while B.1.1.7 cases continue to rise. And what I don't know is to the point of which that will rise and what sort of impact it'll have on the population as a whole.
Well, you started out that answer by talking about that hospitals might be filled to the brim again. Interesting you say that. Governor Lamont was on CNBC this morning, and he said that one of the reasons that he feels good about this sort of reopening plan is that we've got plenty of capacity in our hospitals right now, combined with a very low infection rate. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that the snapshot right now is that things are looking good at this moment. That, you know, I have lots of colleagues that work in the hospital system, and I think that they're very grateful that there's that they get a bit of a break. What I don't want to happen is for them to lose that and our capacity to decrease to the point where we're not able to provide as great of care to each individual because we're overwhelmed. Is that going to be the likely outcome with B.1.1.7? It is certainly one that could happen. And I think that we will know a lot more about what's going to happen in the next few weeks. And I think that we should be prepared for a resurgence in cases. I just think that there's this battle that keeps on playing out of you know, the what we need to do to provide less restrictions because people want them to help the economy, and then what actually is good for public health. And often that means, I think, that decisions happen maybe a little bit too soon. And if we would wait a little bit longer, we would be in a much better position.
Okay, you say too soon. If you were in charge, when? What do you say?
On this, if it was decisions were entirely made for COVID-19 public health, that I would wait until we had at least 3 weeks of sustained low-level transmission, and that we have evidence that even if with B.1.1.7 becoming the majority virus, that it's not increasing cases. I would wait at least until I had that data.
Of course, famously, the governor rolled out an age-based vaccine plan, as opposed to a plan based on a variety of carve-outs. What do you make of that? On CNBC this morning, he said that one of the reasons he did it is that people were, quote, gaming the system, and that's why this makes much more sense. So your thoughts?
Yeah, the vaccine distribution and allocation has been such a difficult part, I think, for any public health system, and the fact that the states had to sort of fend for themselves to develop their own way of doing it has been a bit of a challenge. It made a lot of sense initially to do it based on risk and not based on age, because we needed to get the vaccine to frontline workers. We needed to get the vaccine into nursing homes and things like that. But now that we are moving into the general population, I think it does make sense to just do it based on age. It's you know, I'm not as worried about the individuals that are gaming the system as much as I'm worried about the inequities of the vaccines in general, that we need to make sure that there is equal opportunity to get the vaccines into populations of color. And if that means doing it based on an age-based system, and if that helps, then that's great. But I don't know if that completely addresses those concerns, because I think you have to be more active about getting the vaccine into those populations.
Final question. The governor says that the vast majority of people 55 and above have been vaccinated, and that gives him even more comfort to make this move. Obviously, you know, those 55 and older folks would be considered of higher risk. What do you make of that rationale?
I mean, the rationale makes sense in a world where we don't have a new variant that has been introduced and is rapidly increasing in frequency. And that's great that most of the people that are above 55 have gotten the vaccine, but it's not 100%. And there are other people with comorbidities that maybe haven't been vaccinated yet. We still are working to get the vaccine to teachers and other people who work in our school systems. I still think that there's enough people that are important to vaccinate that haven't been vaccinated yet that need to be considered within this mindset of, are we just going to start to reopen everything without necessarily knowing the true impact that these new variants will have?
Nathan Grubaugh, assistant professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. Very insightful interview. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Yes, no problem. Thank you for having me.